Greetings, good listener. You have landed on Good Medicine with Dr. Katrina Miller on intrafficradio.com.
Hello, hello. This is Dr. K. You are listening to Good Medicine on intrafficradio.com. Thank you very much for tuning in on this Monday evening, January 10th, 2011. And I have my producer here in the house, Adrian, and he's fiddling away at the knobs and the faders here, so we'll let him do his work. But again, I welcome him and thank him for coming to join me here in the studio at Bedrock Studios in Los Angeles, California. So, Good Medicine here, this little show that we're doing for you here, 7 to 8 p.m. on Mondays, is my show on health and medical news and answers to your questions. And the questions can be really anything. It can be medical, psychological, or just ethereal and metaphysical. Whatever you like, you can give us a call at 213-484-6639, 213-484-6639. And you can be live on the show with us on the phone, or you can just ask a question or give us a comment, and we can take you off the air and give a little announcement about it. So whatever you feel comfortable with, 213-484-6639. Go ahead and give us a call. Also, if you want to, you can instant message. And right now we have the In Traffic LA Facebook up. So if you just go to your Facebook page and then look up In Traffic, I-N-T-R-A-F-F-I-K, then you can find that. And you can let us know if you have any kinds of things you want to talk about through the chat on that, or AOL Instant Messenger, where I have the moniker Dr. Groovyster, D-R-G-R-O-O-V-Y-S-T-E-R. I know that's a lot to remember, but we want to have a lot of ways for you to be able to have some live contact with us. And if not, we'll be talking about different things that we have found in the health and medical news for today. And on today's show, we've got different topics, and here are a few of them. We might be we're going to be talking about alcoholism and obesity a little bit later. Might sound pretty obvious, but it's got some interesting connections there with alcoholism and obesity. And more information about circumcision, how circumcision may be able to protect men and women from infections like HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, and HPV, human papillomavirus, which is the virus that causes warts and pap smear changes. So circumcision may be able to help out with that. Then we've got a story on light exposure during sleep. Does that possibly increase breast cancer? So that's interesting for some geographic areas and for really potentially women who have to sleep during the day, say who are on the night shift or swing shift. Pretty interesting there. And there's an interesting story about how Prozac, an antidepressant, has been helping folks who have had a stroke regain their motor skills. So different uses of medications might come in handy. And also at the same time might be helpful for antidepressant effect. So those are some of the stories that we'll be getting into today with the news that we have found here at In Traffic Radio. And so you can stay tuned for the rest of this hour to hear a little bit more on those topics. And then we'll also be playing some lovely music from Los Angeles, independent artists, as well as other artists that we just basically like. And to start off this set, we heard from Coop to start with a remix version of one of their tunes that, wow, my little iTunes went all out of whack. Astor Piazzolla remixed, and that was that first Coop song. And then after that, we had Robotinists, who is a local artist with a singer, and I can't remember her name right now, but she has the most amazing voice. I really I'm so impressed by her voice when I hear it produced, when I hear it live. Robotinists, if you ever get a chance to go see that band here in Los Angeles or anywhere else, go check them out. Just amazing female singer, and the band, of course, is great too. But that was Subtlety is Underrated, and I completely agree. Subtlety is way underrated. No reason for it. So go ahead, live your life. Carpe diem. I'm Dr. K, family medicine physician, telling you that that is always a good idea, because why not, right? You know what, who was it? William Blake said, the road of excess leads to the palaces of wisdom. Okay? So just go with it. Be safe, but go with it. Make your life what you want it to be. Know what I'm saying? All right. So we'll be doing a little bit more of our show today, but I also want to remind you that you are listening to intrafficradio.com, and this is the radio station, the internet radio station connected with intrafic.com, and intrafic.com is a blog website that was started by Syria Contreras and a couple of other of her friends. And so you can find great blogs on music and lifestyle, photography, film, comedy, all kinds of things on intrafic.com. So definitely go to our parent website, intrafic.com, and check that out for lots of great blogs on knowledgeable people here in Los Angeles about pretty interesting topics. And through intrafic.com, you, of course, can get to the Intrafic radio page, which is hopefully how you started listening to us now today. But that has our schedule of shows, live shows every day of the week, and the playlist running with our choice of music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So please check out Intrafic Radio whenever you want to listen to some great music and some really awesome live shows on your interwebs. All right, we're going to go back and listen to a little bit more music and come back in just a couple of minutes. We've got Air and Ella Fitzgerald coming up next on Good Medicine.
Thank you. do feel.
I'm flying high, but I've got a feeling I'm falling, falling for nobody else but you.
Falling just for you.
You caught my eye, and I've got a feeling I'm falling. Show me the ring and I'll jump right through.
Jump right through.
I used to travel single, oh, we chance to mingle, oh, now I'm a tingle over you.
Tingle over you.
Mr. Parson, stand by, for I've got a feeling I'm falling, falling for nobody else but you.
You flew too high, and now you've got a feeling you're falling,
falling for nobody else but you. Say you caught my eye,
and I've got a feeling you're falling.
Show me the ring, and I'll jump right through. I used to travel single, oh, we chance to mingle, oh, now I'm a tingle over you. Mr. Parson, stand by, for I've got a feeling I'm falling, falling for nobody else but you.
You're falling.
Yes, I'm falling.
Just falling.
I'm still falling for nobody else but you.
All right. I am so apologetic for the fact that we had a little program here that was making some sounds of doors closing and opening during that Ella Fitzgerald song, that beautiful Ella Fitzgerald song. I'm so sorry to Ella because I wanted to listen to that song. I've got a feeling I'm falling from the First Lady of Song, Ella Fitzgerald. And before that, we heard from Air, How Does That Make You Feel, from 10,000 Hertz Legend, and a really interesting sort of Air song, not their usual, but really, what is their usual? If it's electronic and sounds like some robotic voice, then I guess maybe it is kind of their usual. But anyhow, that's what we just heard from, and you are listening to Good Medicine on intrafficradio.com. I am Dr. K, Dr. Katrina Miller, family medicine physician here in Los Angeles, California, here to give you good medicine, 1 hour of health and medical news, answers to your questions, and the lovely music that we can come up with from the In Traffic Radio archives. So what we're going to talk about in this little segment is circumcision. Circumcision. How do you all feel about that, huh? Well, yes, it can be something that you don't really want to think about, especially if you're a guy. A lot of guys had it done when they were born or the week after they were born, so luckily they don't remember much about it. But of course, circumcision is the removal of the foreskin of the penis, which is this flap of skin that goes over what is called the glands of the penis, that is just basically a vestigial structure, something that's been there, you know, throughout evolution, and probably had more of a reason back in evolution for other animals in terms of protecting the penis. But at this point for humans, is just not as necessary. We wear underwear, we wear clothes, and the penis does not need as much of a foreskin and its own skin-like clothing, so to speak. Haha. Anyhow, so we're finding that, you know, circumcision is proving to be beneficial in terms of protecting both men and women from different types of infections. And this has been a point of contention for a long time, and we haven't really had enough research to bear up whether circumcision was really a good idea or not. And so we as doctors have, from the at least the more recent past in being asked this question, have not really given you an answer as parents to babies or people who are wondering about this. And because basically we couldn't really say whether circumcision was really important enough to do, or by research had enough benefit to really discuss the surgery as being something that you really should do. But now we really do have some more information about it, and a story just came out on the 7th of January where researchers have found that it actually might be able to protect women from HPV. So we already knew that circumcision could actually help men be protected from HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, and also HPV, but it looks like the studies have also now found that it can decrease the risk of HPV for women, for the female counterparts of the men who have had circumcision. So this was basically coming from a Baltimore-based team from Johns Hopkins, and it was inspired by a research study that was done in Uganda, where the main purpose was to establish the effect of circumcision on the risk of men catching HIV. And that actually proved to be beneficial. So the men who had circumcision had a decreased risk of contracting HIV and becoming ill with AIDS. And so this Baltimore-based group wanted to check it out for HPV, human papillomavirus. So they enrolled 648 partners of the men in the circumcision group, and 597 partners of the men in the control group between 2003 and 2006. And the women had to provide testing for the HPV at three times, at the first point, the baseline, 12 months and 24 months, so 1 year and 2 years. And the results showed a significant reduction of 28%, and that's a good deal when we're talking about research studies. 28% reduced risk of the prevalence of high-risk HPV. So that's the type that can actually cause cervical cancer in the female partners of circumcised men when compared to the women who are partnered with the uncircumcised men. So that is showing that, you know, really not only is it helpful for the men, but it also could be helpful for the women. And this is actually showing a statistically significant improvement of the risk of human papillomavirus for women. And this is certainly something that we want to help out, because, of course, human papillomavirus is what causes cervical cancer. And anything that we can do to reduce that risk, whether it be circumcision in males or the HPV vaccine, which is Gardasil, which is now available for men and for women. So both men and women ages 9 to 26 can get that. Then we should really do it, because why not protect women against cancer, right? We don't want to give women any other reason to get cancer other than what they already have. So these recent findings add to the important evidence for the promotion of male circumcision in countries without well-established programs, especially for cervical cancer screening. So we do need to have a little bit more in terms of research done on exactly what is going on with the connection to circumcision. But based on this study, it looks like male circumcision really can help, especially females for that particular study. So, and as I mentioned, this was based on a study that was done in Uganda that came out about, I would say, about mid last year, where we found that circumcision actually helped men in terms of reducing their risk of contracting HIV. And a secondary finding out of that study was also the decrease of human papillomavirus in those men as well. So we have the decreased risk of the men getting it and transmitting it through circumcision. So it looks like the World Health Organization and UNAIDS is now recommending circumcision for HIV-negative men as part of a national HIV prevention program in sub-Saharan Africa. So, you know, I mean, that's what's going on in Africa. And here in the U.S., we'll have to evaluate the studies a little bit more to decide if USPSTF, which is United States Preventive Services Task Force, will recommend that for men here in the United States. But what I'm seeing is more and more evidence that that's a good idea, that men get circumcised. So I think I'm kind of leaning in that direction at this point. Hey, if you want to talk to me about that, you can give me a call at 213-484-6639. That's 213-484-6639. And again, on Facebook at In Traffic Radio LA. You can look us up by In Traffic Radio LA or AOL Instant Message, which looks like, even though it made a lot of noise, I think is now connected with the Facebook. Or you can get me by Dr. Groovyster. So I understand that, you know, you might have your own thoughts about that and whether circumcision is a good idea. It is a surgery. It does have its risks, and it can go wrong. So you always have to weigh the risks and benefits of any procedure that not only you would have done on yourself, but obviously that you're having done on your child or your baby. So that's definitely something to think about. But I think for the benefits that we're hearing, it might be a good idea. And we were also talking about whether or not circumcision can be done if you're an older person, say a young child or a young adult. And yes, circumcision can be done at any time in life that you want it to be done. You will be more aware of the pain, and the pain is rather uncomfortable. This is the penis we're talking about. But a circumcision can be done at any time in life. So that's that topic, and we'll come back and talk about a little bit more in our next segment. Again, you are listening to Good Medicine Mondays, 7 to 8 p.m. on intrafficradio.com. I am Dr. Katrina Miller, and we're going to be listening next to some Basement Jacks and then Flying Lotus. So stay tuned for the good music and the good medicine on intrafficradio.com. Calm.
Thank you.
This is Dr. K, and you are listening to Good Medicine on intrafficradio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we were just talking here about our last topic, the circumcision topic. And we had a call in with a question. So, Adrian, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, we had a caller who is 25 years old and was asking what could go wrong.
What could go wrong?
If he had a circumcision at 25.
Which is a really good question, because I mentioned that there could be things that could go wrong with circumcision, but I didn't really get into that. So what could go wrong? Now, circumcision, of course, is a surgical procedure where we remove the foreskin, which is the loose skin on the edge, the outer edge of the penis. And basically the way we do it when you're a baby is through different ways we kind of pull the skin pretty taut and then use something to be able to remove it, so basically to cut off that tissue. Now, when you're older, things are a little bit larger and we can't use the same instrumentation. So generally speaking, it's a surgical procedure where you would go into a urologist's office who is a specialist in the area, and they would anesthetize the area. Okay, so it would be injections of numbing medicine either in places near the penis or on the penis. So that's not very fun. But once it's numb, then you can't really tell what's going on. Then that foreskin is removed. And generally speaking, that would be done with very sharp scissors or a scalpel. And really the difficult part, of course, is recovering from the procedure, which is very painful. Now, it's not painful for too long. It really does heal up pretty quickly, but it is pretty painful. It's a pretty sensitive place. Right, Adrian?
Yeah. How long does it take for full recovery?
It depends on the person, and it actually depends a lot on your lifestyle, because people who have undergone surgery basically can, with this kind of procedure, it's a very small procedure that basically is a very clean, what we call a very clean procedure, so that I would say, generally speaking, these folks are on the way to feeling better within 3 to 5 days, and really within a couple of weeks are pretty much back to normal, depending on who they are. But if you are a person who is a smoker, or an alcohol drinker, or you're doing anything else to your body that really isn't healthy, it can greatly delay your wound healing and not only make things take a lot longer to get better, but it might necessitate you needing more pain reliever while you're going through it. So particularly if you've been, say, using or abusing prescription medications, prescription painkillers, then it could make it much harder for you to get better from a procedure like this. So what could go wrong? Well, whenever we consent a person to a procedure like this, we always have to give them the risks of the procedure. And the risks of this procedure would be things like bleeding. Definitely there's going to be some bleeding. Definitely there's going to be pain. There is a risk for infection, even though it's done with sterile technique and trying to stay as sterile as possible, but there is always a risk of infection. There's a risk of the area becoming numb so that there is damage to the nerves in the area, and that area or part of the penis in the area could become numb. And scarring is another risk for the procedure. So basically you can have scarring that's right in the area where the procedure's been done. And that can be a normal scar or what's called hypertrophic or a keloid. You might have seen keloid scars before. That's where the scar gets very lumped up. And if there is any kind of alternate scarring other than normal going on, sometimes it can lead the penis to be curved in a direction, either while it is flaccid or when it becomes erect. And that can actually lead to some problems, of course, with the penis being straight when it's erect, something called phimosis. So unfortunately, you know, you can have some problems. Now, those kinds of things are very rare, very rare. But, of course, when they happen, it's not fun. Now, they can be rectified. You can go in there and release scar tissue. But, unfortunately, it's something that nobody wants to hear about, nobody wants to think about, but could happen with circumcision. And if you're a 25-year-old guy and any one of those things happens, it is not a fun thing.
Sounds painful.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty painful. But, like I said, for most people, not for very long. So, do you think we answered that question sufficiently?
I hope so.
It
still sounds painful. You're
sounding a little gray.
It still sounds painful.
You know, one of the funniest times that I had, I did this. This is going to sound terrible, and for you boys out there, I want you to know that I love you intrinsically. I love guys. I really, really do. But sometimes you just. It's too much fun for a girl to be able to say something about the penis or the balls and have guys just cringe. So I did this little segment on Filter on G4 TV a while ago, and it was talking about when guys get kicked in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talked about it for about, let's say, like a minute, where I kind of described what happens and the nerve reaction and how the balls will retract upward because, you know, the trauma that's happened. And
I gotta go.
And that's what happened. It was like when I was done talking, the film crew, who are all guys, I mean, they couldn't even move. They were all gray or green lips. And they couldn't even move. And I was done. And I was like, okay, I'm done. And they were just like, and no one could move. So anyhow, I know that those kinds of things can be awful to hear about for you guys. But I also want you to know about them because, you know, first of all, it's good to know about some of these things. Second of all, who else is going to tell you about this? Where can you go to get this kind of information? Well, that's why we have this show. Good Medicine is here to be able to answer your questions that you might not want to ask anywhere else. And I will answer them for you to the best of my ability. So if it's something that you don't feel comfortable going to your own healthcare provider to ask, or it's something concerning for you, please feel free to give us a call here at the studio, 213-484-6639. It's 213-484-6639. Or you can find us on Facebook at In Traffic Radio LA. Do some chatting with us, or the AOL Instant Messenger, Dr. Groovyster. So that's the story on that. I think we've kind of played that one out, eh? Yeah? Okay. That's all good. And so what else might we want to talk about at this point? We've got some other topics, and this one's kind of interesting. This breast cancer one with the light. Let me see if I can find that one real quick. Exposure to bright light during sleep may increase breast cancer risk. So that's kind of interesting. Sleeping with the lights on could increase the risk of breast cancer. The results from a large 10-year observational study show that that may be the case. This study looked at more than 1,670 women and found that those routinely exposed to higher intensity light in their sleeping environment had a 22% higher chance of developing breast cancer than women who slept in full darkness. So it may be that leaving the lights on while sleeping interferes with melatonin production, which in turn modulates endogenous estrogen levels. And several studies have associated the change of circadian rhythm, or the sleep-wake cycle, with a hormone that is protective against breast cancer. So we find a lot that sleep is really good for you. And here's basically another idea that sleep is a good idea, especially when it's done in the dark. And that's the way you want to do it, right? All right. Hey, you are listening to Good Medicine with Dr. K on intrafficradio.com.
Thank you. until you came along. Now I can breathe, I can see, I can touch, I can feel, I can taste all the sugar sweetness in your
All right. Hello, hello. Dr. K here with you. And just heard from the Hollies, I'm Alive. And I just saw that in a movie called Pirate Radio. Don't know if you've ever seen that, but that was a super cool movie. So check that out if you want to, with an amazing soundtrack of lots of classic rock songs. And that was one of the songs off of that soundtrack. And then before that, we heard from a band called Tremolo. And the song was Can You Feel It Now, from Love is the Greatest Revenge. Love is the Greatest Revenge. I like that idea. That's nice. That's cool. Love is the Greatest Revenge. And we've also heard from Flying Lotus and Basement Jacks, Underworld, Chopin, Ella Fitzgerald, Air, Ulrich Schnauss, and Robotness starting off our set today. So we had another question come in based on what we were just talking about with breast cancer and the increased risk of breast cancer when you sleep with the light on. And the question was, Adrian, do you want to fill us in?
Sure. The question was if guys could get breast cancer. I know Peter Chris had it.
Right.
But I don't think it happens often, does it?
That is correct, yes. Men do not get breast cancer often, but they do get it. And the interesting thing about that is, of course, men don't think they can get it, and so there is really no campaign and no education about men checking their chest area for any kinds of lumps or bumps or masses or anything like that. And the good thing for men is that, of course, the risk of breast cancer is 100 times less in men than it is in women. In women, there's about a 10% risk of developing breast cancer. So for men, it's about a 0.1 to a 1% risk. So very low risk, but it can happen, and it has been known to happen. And if you have a situation called gynecomastia, which is where your chest area is a little larger than normal, and this can happen with a lot of marijuana smoking in particular, it really can shift your hormonal balance, then you are at increased risk for male breast cancer. So keep that in mind. If you're a guy, you still want to check your chest area, just kind of feel around, make sure you don't feel. There you go. Nice. Adrian is demonstrating here in the studio for us. Go ahead and check the area. Make sure you don't feel anything firm and with irregular kinds of edges and shape to it. Basically, I usually describe it as being hard like a rock or a piece of chalk, something like that, that's very different from everything else that's there. Does that make sense? You're not laughing at me, are you?
No.
He's getting uncomfortable again. All right, well, we're going to stop talking about that. But thank you again for we're getting some calls in today, and I appreciate that because that means I can answer your questions. So the next topic that we're going to go to today is the risk of alcoholism being linked to the risk for obesity. Now, this kind of sounds like a kind of a, well, yeah, what do you expect kind of idea to me? Because, hey, man, if you're drinking a lot, don't you think you're going to be gaining weight? And that can be because you're drinking a lot. And, you know, they call alcohol empty calories. And that's because there's really no nutrition in alcohol unless you're drinking fortified wine. Did you know that fortified wine was actually made for winos, like homeless folks and street folks who are drinking so much alcohol that they went ahead and threw some vitamins in there?
No.
That's what fortified wine is.
But that's a good way of...
You know, you got to do it, right? If you know that they're going to be doing it, you might as well throw some vitamins in there so they can get some vitamins out of it and not get Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, which is the syndrome of destruction of the brain and nerve tissue from drinking too much alcohol. So I think you were asking me, what are the risks of too much alcohol drinking? Is it really a bad thing? Well, definitely yes. Now, alcohol can be drunk in amounts that aren't so bad. And we actually know that a certain amount of alcohol, low amounts of especially red wine, can be very beneficial for most folks. It can reduce stress. It can decrease the likelihood of cancer. It can decrease cholesterol and cardiac disease. So definitely red wine has its benefits, and that's because of the tannins in the red wine, very specific to red wine. White wine does not have the same capabilities and benefits. They've also found that women who drink beer, it can actually benefit their bones. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, right? But we know that heavier women have a lower risk for osteoporosis, which is bone thinning. And so likely it is that those women who are drinking beer are probably a little bit heavier. And perhaps that is the reason that they have a lower risk for bone density thinning. But maybe it's just it has something to do with the beer. We really don't have enough research to say why. But there is evidence that drinking beer in women can decrease the likelihood of osteoporosis. So there are benefits to alcohol, right? I mean, besides just, you know, having a good time, which you got to be careful with. Don't drink and drive. But there are benefits. On the other hand, if you drink too much, then not only do you run the risk of gaining weight, again, just from the alcohol itself, but what do you do when you get drunk?
Go eat. Junk food, right?
Good answer. I mean, I don't know about you, but let's say when I've had a late night, I want to go run to the Taco Bell, you know, get like not only 3 tacos, but probably like 10.
Right.
Like way more than I can actually eat. But point is, you know, your judgment is off. You probably are getting more hungry. Of course, this is more known for pot smoking, to get hungry and eat a lot. But you can do it when you're just drinking alcohol, too, and that's not such a good thing. And this has actually been studied. Addiction researchers at Washington University at St. Louis found that the risk for alcoholism also puts you at risk for obesity through a study that they did. So in addiction research, we often look at what we call cross-heritability, which addresses the question of whether a predisposition to one condition might also contribute to other conditions. And for example, alcoholism and drug abuse are cross-heritable. If you have the likelihood for one, you'll have the likelihood for the other. And so this is what they're finding in terms of the genetic basis to the connection between alcoholism and obesity. So this comes from a study that was reported in the archives of General Psychiatry that is showing that there is this connection between basically what the areas of the brain are doing to connect that alcoholism idea to how much you're eating. So it probably has something to do with the reward centers of the brain and why you want to be drinking that alcohol, and then again, why you want to be over-consuming especially bad food. So they were looking at whether there were markers for the family history of alcoholism and the obesity. And they found that basically in 2001 to 2002, women with the history of alcoholism were 49% more likely to be obese than those without a family history of alcoholism. They also noticed the same relationship in men, but it was not as striking as it was in women. So it's basically what we call a retrospective study where they just basically looked at folks with the problem and wasn't really trying to find the reason why that connection was there between alcoholism and obesity. So again, it's kind of one of these things that to me I'm saying, yeah, I kind of could have guessed that. But the more we have research saying these things, the more valid it is for us to say that they're actually true. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. Very good. So that's the story on that one. And we'll keep talking about more things coming up in just another couple of minutes after we hear from Pizza and Thirsty Fish. Some more things that I dug out of the what were the Is Good radio archives, which is now the In Traffic radio archives. But keep in mind, this is intrafficradio.com. And our parent website, intraffic.com, has great blog selections for you all the time. Keep on listening. We'll be back in just a moment. Dr. K on Good Medicine.
Thank you. It's the thirst makes you do things in the first place. If what you think is the worst case is what you searching for. A person searching whose thirst is worse than yours. Thirst takes hunger first of all. Mistakes haunt you worst of all. But you gotta conserve the urge to fall. Psychosis, what you thirsty for?
I'm just trying to get my wit, my hit, my sip, my tip, my dip, my zip, my back up and drop her ass off at a strip mall. Until my helicopters have helicopters so badass I had to go to hell to copper. When Satan was selling choppers, I want my name so big it won't fit in the teleprompter. For all my psychotics, for all my piranhas, for yucking, for checking, for all my fellow monsters, sinning, howling like the spit squatters, super kick rockers, stupid sick props. Till I'm a king like Mike Bibby, and they have the Night Christie to fight with me through these shice gritty streets of San Andreas, where it's Vice City deep, drinking out of goblets, the Viking in me.
You think is the worst case is what you searching for. A person searching whose thirst is worse than yours. Thirst takes hunger first of all. Mistakes haunt you worst of all. But you gotta curb serve the urge to fall. Yo, open what you thirsty for. A way to be paid by age 34. This elevator's stuck at the early floor. First floor is dirty against the Jersey Shore. Disgusting. Pockets busted like a herpes sore. Single mother was a member of the working poor. I'm talking no bed, mattress on a dirty floor. Every Sunday she would holler,
"Mercy, Lord!"
No answer, chalk it up to Murphy's Law. That was in the past, though.
What?
Life's a game and I want the infinite cash code. Doubt if my pockets ever get that swole. I'm an underground, over-intricate asshole. Got mad soul, but not much cheddar. The shrinking middle class thing is not much better. I won't chase Mason Simples to bum treasure, but I still need two good nickels to rub together because I'm thirsty. You do things in the first place. If what you think is the worst case is what you searching for. A person searching whose thirst is worse than yours. Thirst takes hunger first of all. Mistakes haunt you worst of all. But you gotta curb serve the urge.
Hey, it's Thursday. That's right. This is Dr. K. I want to say thank you very much for tuning in to Good Medicine this week, January the 10th, 2011. It's been nice having you here, and we had some good discussions on circumcision and breast cancer and obesity and alcoholism. That's right. That's how we roll here at Good Medicine on intrafficradio.com. And I also want to thank my producer, Adrian, for being here with me today. It makes it much easier to have help here in the Bedrock Studios of intrafficradio.com. Keep on listening 24 hours, 7 days a week. In Traffic Radio has live shows and programmed music for your listening pleasure and our pleasure to bring it to you. And we are listening to Thirsty Fish right now with The Thirst. And Pizza before that. Always trying to bring in local Los Angeles independent artists to our playlists. That's the way we want to do it. Give me an email if you want to, Katrina@intrafficradio.com, and I'll get back to you or bring it into our next week's show. We're going to be talking about vitamins next week. What is the research? Talk to you then.
Greetings, good listener. You have landed on Good Medicine with Dr. Katrina Miller on intrafficradio.com.